Take your Bibles, please turn back to Exodus chapter 12 for our communion services. We started last month. We are endeavoring to work through the scriptures on the topic of the Lamb. The Lamb is a very important feature within the scriptures, and there is much that we can learn, much that God has to say concerning the Lamb. Last week, last time we looked at the first two, Abel and his lamb in Genesis chapter 4, the propitiating sacrifice. And then we also talked a little bit about Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice there in Genesis 22, and noted the perfect substitute for Isaac was a ram or a lamb. This morning we want to take a look at Exodus chapter 12 and talk a little bit about the Passover lamb. I would say to you that Exodus chapter 12 is one of the most important chapters in the scriptures because of the content of the chapter dealing with Passover. It significantly points to the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, according to John 1 verse 29. And in Exodus 12, records the institution of the Passover for the Hebrew people. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Passover. The verse says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And so we can sense the importance and the significance of Passover. And here in Exodus 12, we find when and how Passover was inaugurated for the people of Israel. And so Exodus 12 is significant as it lays out the process for the lamb, what should be done, how it should be taken care of, when should it happen, and so on. Now, as a reminder, the Passover was instituted at the time of the 10th plague that God brought upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians who had enslaved the Hebrew children earlier with a new Pharaoh that came on board. So keep your finger there at Exodus 12, but look back in chapter 11. There's only 10 verses. This will set the stage, if you want, for chapter 12. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. "The Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. The Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And then chapter 12, we find the institution of the Passover. We note that all 10 plagues, and Passover came at the time of the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn in the land, all 10 plagues were brought down upon Pharaoh and unleashed by the Lord God Jehovah, the God of the Hebrew people. All of the plagues were against the various and multiple gods that Egypt worshipped. They had a very large, what is called pantheon of gods. They worshipped the sun. God's name was Ra. And it came to pass that as God brought all these plagues upon the people, he did so for a particular purpose, and that was to show his power, God's power, against the gods of Egypt. And it was intended to show that Jehovah was God and God alone. There were no other gods beside him. And that God, as he made the plagues, brought the plagues upon the people, people would understand that Jehovah God is greater than anything that they worshipped in the land. Now, in Egypt, Pharaoh himself was considered a god. And so the 10th plague was directed to him against this false theological doctrine that a man like Pharaoh should be considered a god. So the firstborn in the land of Egypt would die. Not just Pharaoh's firstborn, but the firstborn of everyone in the land, including the beasts. And this would show that Pharaoh had no divine power in himself, that God was much stronger and greater than anything that Pharaoh thought he could be. And he had no power in himself or in his land. After this plague, the 10th one, the Lord told Moses that Pharaoh would let the children of Israel go. Not easily, and God would harden his heart to keep them from going, but ultimately they would be told to leave. Now, to protect the children of Israel from the death of the firstborn, the Lord gave Moses some instructions that would deliver them from the plague. And we notice them in chapter 12. I'm just going to work through a list here of seven things that we see in this chapter as it relates to Passover. Number one, it's the Lord who initiates all that is recorded here. Moses didn't make this stuff up. He didn't make up the fact of, you know, choosing a lamb, putting its blood on the doorpost and what. This is the Lord telling Moses, this is what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And so the Lord initiates all that is recorded here. It is his will. It is his way. It is his word that makes Passover possible. Not made up by any man. Secondly, the month in which Passover is instituted is now the first month of the year for Israel. Most Bible scholars refer to this setup as the religious calendar. What begins in the new year in the fall is often referred to as the civic calendar. Sometimes gets a little confusing, but the Lord said to Moses, this month is the first month of the year for you. All required feasts of Israel are based on this reckoning, this religious calendar. And this month is known in Hebrew as Abib, or it's also known as Nisan. That's right. Called Abib or Nisan. It's the first month of a new year for Israel. Thirdly, notice that on the 10th day of this first month, every man, according to the house of their fathers, was to take a lamb for a house. If the household was too little for a lamb, then he and his neighbor could take one lamb together. The lamb was to be without blemish, a male of the first year and could be taken out of the sheep or the goats, we're told. Fourthly, the lamb was to be kept up until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole congregation of Israel were to kill their lambs in the evening. You read that in verse 6. In the evening, literally the Hebrew says, between the evenings. They were to kill the lamb between the evenings. Which, when you understand how Israel reckons its day, makes sense. And I know this is not new for any of us here at Berean, but just as a reminder, the Jewish day begins and ends at sundown, 6 p.m. in an evening, usually. And so the Hebrew day, the Jewish day, consequently had two evenings. And what I call the closing evening, so 4 o'clock in the afternoon till sundown would be the closing evening of one day, and then the opening evening from sundown to, say, 8 o'clock in the evening on a new day, a second day. And so at sundown was the end of one day, the beginning of a new day, and so this lamb was to be killed between the evenings at sundown at 6 p.m. Now, in our Gentile reckoning of a day, our day goes from midnight to midnight, right? And so in our day, we only have one evening, an evening that extends from 4 to, say, 8 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 o'clock. It's one evening. It's not two separate times or two separate days, which is the difference between what we have and what the Jewish people understand. So the Jews have two evenings, one to close a day and one to open a new day. So the question arises, which evening is being referred to here? To kill it between the evenings. Was it between the evening of the 14th and the 15th? Or was it to be between the evening of the 13th to the 14th? Right? We're just told that the lamb was to be kept up until the 14th day and then killed in the evening. Well, in light of Exodus 12, verse 29, the Lord says that he is going to come through the land at midnight of the 14th day. And when he sees the blood that was to be applied to the doorposts and lintels, he would pass over those homes. And so all of that took place on the 14th. If they had waited to kill the lambs on the closing evening of the 14th, it would have been too late, right? And so it had to be the evening between the 13th day and the 14th day, such that at midnight, and the death angel came through, Passover would be initiated. And we've talked a lot about that over the years anyway, so it's nothing new for you. Number 5, the blood of the slain lamb was to be applied to the lintel and to the two doorposts of the house wherein the lamb would be eaten. Right? So the lamb wasn't killed just to get the blood. It was also to be eaten as a expression of worship and obedience to the Lord. It was extremely important that the blood be applied to the doorposts and to the lintel. Because as we read in verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. If the congregation of Israel had slain the lamb but not applied the blood, they would not have been spared from the death angel moving through the rest of the land of Egypt at midnight. They too would have experienced the death of a firstborn. And so the blood applied was very important. And they needed to do that if they were going to be delivered from the death angel. Number six, notice the eating of the lamb requirements. God even put down requirements for eating the lamb. It was to be eaten in that night. So it's killed at 6 p.m.-ish on between 13th and the 14th, and they were to roast then that lamb, eat it that evening after they had killed it and applied the blood. It was to be eaten in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs. The whole thing was to be roasted. Nothing of it was to remain until the morning. And if anything did remain, it was to be burned up, because this was a special occasion for the Lord. The people, God even addressed how they should eat it. The people were to be fully dressed. Their loins would to be girded, shoes on their feet, staff in their hand. It was to be eaten with haste. In other words, they were to eat that lamb by being prepared to go out, right? Because they were anticipating and expecting that Pharaoh would say, go, as Moses had been requesting all along through the nine plagues that had come. Let my people go. And God wanted to take them into the new land. So this would be the occasion when that would take place. And so they were to be fully dressed, ready to go at a moment's notice, eat the lamb, and whatever's left over till morning, you burn that with fire. You can't take leftovers with you when you go. It has to be a clean break. Number seven, and last, certainly not the last thing to notice in the chapter, but last thing for us this morning. Number seven, this event was to be kept as a memorial feast unto the Lord throughout the generations of Israel, the Israelites. In verse 14, he gives them that instruction. Israel wasn't too consistent in keeping the Passover down through its generations. But the point of the Passover was enshrined in Scripture here in Exodus 12 as the will of God for his people. And Moses, who was God's spokesperson for Israel, is even included in the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 28, we read this. Through faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And so Moses was faithful to obey the word of the Lord and strike those posts with the blood of that lamb to provide for them deliverance from the destroying angel. So this chapter, Exodus 12, is extremely significant, not only for the life of Israel, but in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would do for his people. There's one other verse in the New Testament that references this ordinance of Passover. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, where Paul writes, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day," that's what Passover was, a holy day, "or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." And in Leviticus 23, Passover is also considered to be a Sabbath day, because no ordinary work could be done on that day. And that was a whole day, 24 hours, not just part of a day. It required the whole day. And so he says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Also in Hebrews 10 verse 1, we read, "The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." So what we learn here in Exodus 12 is that this is a shadow which comes from the reality of the Lord Jesus. He is the body from which the shadow is cast. And you know what's true about shadows and the body, they have to match, right? They have to match. And so what we read about in Exodus 12 with all of the various things for Passover will directly relate to the Lord Jesus in his death on the cross. So Exodus 12, all those things prescribed for Passover were a shadow of what Christ would fulfill in his death on the cross. And as a shadow, then, they must perfectly match the body from which it is cast. And so, too, the elements of Passover in Exodus 12 must be perfectly fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. So, we understand that on the 10th day of Nisan, when the lambs were chosen for Passover, the Lord Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem to the acclaim and praise of the people. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest! Matthew 21, verse 9. That was the day when Jesus was chosen to be the Lamb for Passover for the entire nation of Israel. We recognize that event as Palm Sunday, right? Palm Sunday. That was the 10th day of Nisan when Jesus came into his own city to the acclaim of his people. The 10th day of Nisan was that Sunday. Then, as in Exodus 12, the lamb was to be observed up until the 14th day. From that day on the 10th of Nisan until the 14th day, the lamb was to be observed and inspected to make sure that there was no blemish or fault in it. Jesus was subject to all the questioning and the interrogation of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and all the leaders, the priests and the high priests, the elders of Israel, constantly just bombarded with all kinds of questions to try and slip him up to say something that was against the law. They tested him over and over for those days. And after it was all done, no fault could be found in the Lord Jesus. There was no blemish in him. He was without fault. He was perfect. Just as the lamb in Exodus 12 had to be without blemish, so the Lord Jesus as well, after intense critical interrogation and examination, was also seen to have no fault and no blemish in him. In Exodus 12, the lamb was to die and his blood applied to the doorposts and to the lintel. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for us. But for his death and his blood to be effective in anyone's life, it has to be applied. Just like in Exodus 12, if they killed the lamb but they didn't put the blood on the doorposts, there would be death in that house of the firstborn. And so the blood needed to be applied to the doorposts so that when the Lord came through at midnight, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Same is true in our lives. We too must apply the blood of Christ to our very lives. That is, we must believe that Jesus died for us. We trust in his death on the cross to pay the price for our sins. We hold our faith to be in Christ, our Savior, by receiving him as our Savior and by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Romans 10:17, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is the application of the blood of Christ to our very lives. It's not good enough for people to say that they believe Jesus died on the cross. that blood needs to be applied to their own lives by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, receiving him as their Savior. And so for all who trust Christ as Savior, the Lord will pass over you at a time when judgment falls. In fact, today, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your sins are forgiven and removed from you. The blood doesn't just cover sins, it washes it away in our lives, the blood of Christ. And so we are saved from God's wrath and judgment against sins because Jesus paid the price of death for us. And through our faith, we apply that blood to our very, very lives. And to think that we are saved from the wrath of God against sin leads us to believe that the rapture of the church must be pre-tribulational, right? Because the tribulation is a day of wrath. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says, we've not been appointed to wrath, but to deliverance, to salvation. And so we believe the church must be raptured out before the tribulation can even begin on this earth. And furthermore, we believe that's got to be pretty soon. A lot of voices earlier in this year were talking about the spring feasts and how they all kind of led to the rapture of the church. Well, nothing happened in the first half of this year. So now, guess what? Their attention is turned to the fall feasts. And there are voices and videos being made now to show that in the fall feasts, one of them, there's three in the fall, will be when the rapture takes place. Well, we know the scripture says that nobody knows the day or the hour. It could happen at any moment. Doesn't have to happen on a feast day for Israel. Could happen at any moment. We need to live in light of that and be sure that we are prepared. Just like the people in Exodus 12, they had to be fully dressed, staff in hand, ready to go. And so we too, as believers in the Lord Jesus, need to be ready for when that trumpet sounds and the angel calls and the voice calls us up to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. Always be ready and prepared to go at a moment's notice, because we don't know exactly when that moment will be. We learn from Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. And we thank the Lord that he has provided that for us and illustrated it, or pictured it, if you want, by what he gave as the Passover for the nation of Israel. The Passover, you can see, is a shadow of what Christ would accomplish when he came to this earth. The Lord Jesus is that body which cast, from which that shadow is cast, and therefore all that the shadow indicates is true of the Lord Jesus. We must believe that. Chosen on the 10th day, sacrificed on the 14th day, his blood is to be applied to our lives through faith, belief, and trust in him. And the death angel will not bring God's judgment down upon us. We are saved from our sins. And it is for this that we remember the Lord around his table this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this illustration, this picture of the Passover lamb as a shadow of what our Savior would do when he came to this earth and came to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you are willing to do that. And thank you for this shadow that we've been able to look at in Exodus 12 this morning, and just encourages us and gives us great hope and trust in you as that which you have done on the cross for us. And our belief, trust, and faith in you is that application of your blood to our very lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us by your grace through faith. And I ask that you would be with us now as we worship you around this table, as we remember the Lord Jesus in this simple ordinance. And I trust that it will be a significant few moments for us as we remember our Lord this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.